6:30, a couple of nights ago, the Lord woke me up. I was sleeping so good. Woke up, and I began to get this message. Not that I was waiting that long to study, Pastor. I've been studying the whole time you told me. But a couple of nights ago, 3:30, I just got up, and all this just started to almost like download to me. And of course, I had to go find scriptures and read scriptures and what's the Greek say? What's the Hebrew say? What's Pastor going to think about this if I say it? All that stuff you go through when you're studying for a sermon. But I am really believing God for something special this morning. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you what I'm believing God for so you can go ahead and have your expectation out there with me. Amen. I'm believing God for personal revival this morning. I heard a couple of people. This side didn't hear me, so I need to face this side. I'm believing God for personal revival this morning. Personal revival. And I'm not just talking about me. I'm talking about you, you preacher, and you, and you, and you, and I'll just spread the fingers out and just point around the whole church. Personal revival this morning. So I don't think, my wife said, you sure that this might be a part one? I said, yeah, it's going to be a part one. I learned from the best. Today I want to talk to you about encouraging words for discouraging times. Encouraging words for discouraging times. Now, the last couple of weeks, I've been meditating and thinking and studying, and I've been thinking like, man, this is 2024 coming up. It's an election year. They're trying to kick Trump out of some of the states that he can't even run, and people are going to be mad and upset, and this could cause all kind of turmoil and rifts in our country, and people are going to be protesting, and people are going to be talking a lot of noise about this upcoming election. Yep. It's going to be a lot of stuff going on this year. Amen. Crazy stuff. Yep. But that doesn't mean that we have to go in a corner and ball up in a fetal position as Christians and hide from the world. That's right. So I believe, and this is how the Lord gave it to me. So I want you to start speaking some encouraging words for these discouraging times. And today I'm talking about part one, personal revival. We all need a fresh touch from heaven. And Glenn, I know you can't put that on the CD. Part one. So if you would turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And it's good to have one of our online family in here today, because I love talking to our online family. And I welcome all those online this morning. And I believe, God, that even if you're watching from home, that God can touch you at your house. God can touch you wherever you are. All the way across the pond, God can give you a personal revival. All the way in Indiana, North Carolina, Finland, wherever you are this morning, God is a big God. And I believe he can touch you wherever you are this morning. So in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, talk about some encouraging scripture. 1 Timothy 4, 1 says, now the Spirit speak expressly. He's speaking very clearly, very plainly, that in the last times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing lying spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Isn't that encouraging? Happy New Year, everybody. First Timothy says there's going to be some backslidden people. backslidden because they're listening to preachers and teachers and so-called prophets and evangelists and apostles and all these people who are speaking lies. And people will hear these lies and they will begin to follow these lies and they will begin to backslide. And before you know it, they're going to be living a life that is contrary to the faith. And it gets better. 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you turn there with me. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 says this. This know also, as if Paul didn't give us enough, Timothy, enough bad news. This know also that in the last days, somebody say last days. Do you know we're living in the last days? He said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Hard times, difficult times, troubled times are coming. This is how Strong's, look up in Strong's, this is how Strong's, Strong speaks to it this way. Strong says the times are going to be hard, to where it begins to wear people down. You start getting tired. That's how hard the days are. You get so tired of the days that you live in that it's like, you know what? I'm just tired. I'm tired. I'm wearing down. Can anybody identify with being worn down in 2023 by all the nonsense? And so Strong speaks of the idea of something that is a time that is difficult, and it's so difficult that it drains you. It exhausts you. You get tired of those days. And then it said in verse two, it says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. I was reading an article this morning, popped up on my phone. I was like, and I usually don't even look at stuff, but it's like, I want to see what this is talking about. It was saying how families are divided more than they've ever been divided before in our country. And it was saying that this young generation is very unforgiving with their parents. And when parents don't do what or say what they think the parents should do or say, they'll cut them off. Like, you know what? Forget you, Mom. Forget you, Dad. I'm not coming over there. I'm not calling you anymore. And I forgot the percentage. It was like 30-something percent. They did this poll. 30-something percent of the young people said, you know what? We don't even talk to our parents right now. Because they're trying to push their religion on us. They're trying to push their beliefs on us. It sounds like the last days to me. Amen. Happy New Year, everybody. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Happy New Year. I'm telling you what, if in these last days, as we read this, we begin to understand, man, there are going to be some crazy times. But here's the thing. In the past, when I've read this, I've thought about the people committing the sin. I thought about the people who are engaged with those activities that is talked about. But here's what the Lord began to show me. It's like this. It's like I began to have my eyes open to, like, wait, you know what? That doesn't just impact those people. That impacts me. It impacts families. It impacts parents. You got to go to jobs with crazy people who don't act right. You have people in your household who don't act right. Sometimes your own children don't want to act right. That impacts you. It impacts sometimes. Let me see how thin the ice is before I walk on it. Sometimes church folk don't act right. Sometimes you go to church and the church folk are acting the fool. That's what, you know, my mom used to say that to me, brother, like, David, don't act a fool. Don't do that. But sometimes you go to church and church people don't even act right. That impacts you as Christians. That has an effect on you. To the point to where it's like, my God, I'm tired. It can wear you down. These last days can wear you down. And on top of that, wait, there's more. There's trials we go through. Anybody go through any trials in 2023 besides the Walker household? Trials of your faith, people going through sickness, infirmity, people having loved ones not talking to them, people being called with all kinds of bad news, people being laid off from jobs, people wondering how they're going to pay the bills. I'm talking about Christians. And it wears on you after a while. Wait, what was the title of this message? Encouraging words for discouraging times. Happy New Year, Pastor. Happy New Year. And please don't watch the news. Please don't listen to the politicians. And I can go on and on and on. You get the picture. I want to do an experiment. I want you to take your phones out. Take out your cell phone. Those of you who have cell phones. That's right. Everybody take out your cell phone. I want you to do something. I want you to look at how much battery power you have on your phone right now. And just kind of tell me, kind of just yell it out to me. 100? What you got, a charger in your pocket? Nobody. 100%. I heard 60. 93, 91. What you got? 99? All right, lots of 90. I heard some 40s. 97, 30s. Okay. You have a nuclear generator hooked to your phone, Brother Vic? They have 300? What happens when you do your phone every night? Why? It'll die. It gets tired. It's called screen time. The more screen time you have on your phones, the more it wears that battery down. The more you use it, the more you interact with your phone, the faster the battery goes down, the shorter the charge on the battery. The same thing is true for us, for individuals. The more we interact with everything we just read, it drains us. It decreases our batteries. Amen. And today in this room, some of us are, you know, maybe 100% charged up. I'm charged up, baby. I'm charged up. Some of us might be 80% charged up. Some of us might be 40% charged. I heard a 30% on the phone. Spiritually, I'm talking about now. Some of us might be at 10%. Amen. Some of us might have a warning light flashing right now. Spiritually, our spiritual batteries. Just like that cell phone battery, we have to interact with this sinful world. And the more sin time, screen time we have, interactions with this world, it works on us. But I got some good news for you. Oh, finally. God knows how to charge our batteries. God knows how to charge our batteries. And I got some better news for you. Some of you this day are going to leave this place. Your battery might be on 10%, but you're going to leave this place at 100%. Your stack of wood might be soaking wet right now, but you're going to leave with some fire in your belly before you leave this church today. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Can somebody say, I want that to be me? All right. Don't have me start walking around this place. Do you know, so in 2 Peter, go to 2 Peter chapter 2. I just need to show you one more thing. Because I need you to understand something. I need you to understand why you feel the way you feel sometimes. Why you feel like, why am I so tired? Why am I so drained inside? Why am I having such a hard time fighting the flesh and fighting the devil? When your battery is low and the devil comes at you, it's not as easy to fight. When your battery is low and the flesh says, I want you to do X, Y, and Z. Come on, David, do it. Do it. Say it, David. Just say it. And the battery is low. The flesh will win. 2 Peter 2, verse 6 says this. It's talking about Sodom and Gomorrah. It says, and turn the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. And listen at verse 7. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Now, this verse can be translated. It could say that Lot was being worn out. Lot was being worn down by the behaviors of those around him. Yeah. And in verse 8, it says, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vex his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds, their lawlessness, their wickedness. Imagine when Lot, living in Sodom and Gomorrah, we think we have it bad. Imagine what he saw when he cut the TV on and watched the news. Could you imagine what the news was like in Lot's day? Welcome to Sodom. The temperature of the day will be a lovely 75 degrees. The sin in Lot has gone to record levels where we are afraid to go outside at night. And I'm just going to stop there because I could take it to a place where the news at Sodom was just crazy. It was horrible. But then it says this. It says in verse 8, it says, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day. From day to day. His batteries were being drained every day from what he saw and from what he heard. And then it says in verse 9, it says, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. Now, verse 7 and 8, here's my translation for verse 7 and 8. Here's a Walker translation. You cannot get this on Amazon, so don't look for the Walker translation. It said, I would say it this way. The state of living in Sodom and being constantly surrounded by the sinful words and deeds of lawless individuals was draining Lot's battery down to dangerous levels. And he was in desperate need of a recharge. That's what the Greek says, something like that. Now let's talk about the good news. So the Bible says that Lot's batteries were drained because he was vexed from what he saw, from what he heard, from what he had to live through. But Psalm 138 says this. It says, though I walk in the midst of trouble. Do you think Lot walked in the midst of trouble? Adversity? Do some of you walk in the midst of trouble and adversity? Well, the psalmist says here, he says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, affliction, anguish, distress, tribulation, he says, thou wilt revive me. The psalmist says, although I gotta hear and see all of this foolishness every day on my job, in the store, on TV, sometimes at church, in my home, my family, he says, sometimes I go through the midst of trouble, but thou wilt revive me. Thou wilt restore me. God will charge my batteries. Amen. God's going to charge your batteries, church. God's going to charge our batteries today. Let me tell you about experience that Brooks and I went through in 2022. Not that long ago. When we came to Faithful Word and we moved from the East Coast, we were burned out. We were tired. I mean, we were burned out. We were stressed out. She had lost her father. I had lost my mother. All kind of stuff was just going on. Jobs were stressful. We were having to come home more often than when we thought, so it was costing us. If we would drive, it would take us 24 hours. If we flew to fly into Alexandria, it cost you an arm and a leg. We were tired. We were tired. And when the Lord opened the door for us to come home, we got a job here in the deep South Louisiana. And we came to Faithful Word. Didn't see it coming. We didn't see it coming. God just said, hey, guess what? I'm sending you the Faithful Word. And here we are, almost 5 years later. Happy to be here, just as happy to be here. But we were, our batteries were drained. And God began to take us through a time of recharging. Amen. He took us through a personal revival. I'm telling you, it was the most glorious time I can tell you about in my Christian life. We would wake up in the morning and we would just feel the presence of God on our house. I'm telling you, we would wake up in the morning with chills. And we would just start weeping because the presence of God would be at our house. And we would go to sleep at night and he would start to give us dreams and revelations even in our sleep. And he would begin to show us things even in our dreams. I would begin to have dreams about pastor's sermons the night before he would preach. And I told him a couple of times, I just quit talking about it. Because I'm like, wow, this is just wonderful. It's amazing. I had a dream that I saw. In the dream, I spoke to someone that I knew, and they had this specific thing on their shoulder, this little knot on their shoulder. And I talked to them in my dream that night, and I asked them about it. And that next day, I had never seen another human being with this. The next day, I took a co-worker to a mechanic to talk to her about her car, and the mechanic had that exact same thing on his shoulder. Guess who got prayed for that day? That mechanic. Guess who left there knowing he was saved? That mechanic. I'm just talking about, we went through a season of revival. And I'm telling you this, this is not like, well, let me just brag about what God's doing in my life. No, I want you to have your expectation high this morning. I gave a word. I was preaching in 2022, and this is what I said. I said it behind this pulpit, it's on record. I said this, and I take out a quote. I said, the season of the superstar using one man, I said this in July of 22, using one man here or one woman there is fading away. We will now see men and women who were wounded warriors return to take their place on the battlefield, standing with their brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, wounded people have been hurt. So this word I gave to this church behind this pulpit was talking about people were hurt and wounded and devastated and going through hard times. But this is what I said. I said, they're going to return to the battlefield, standing with their brothers and sisters in Christ, weeping with them, praying with them, standing with them, fighting with them. So I always go and check. Anytime I give a word or something, I check it out myself. You don't need to call me a false prophet. I'm checking my own self. So I read an article the last couple of days about the Asbury Revival, and this is what it says. The Asbury Revival started February the 8th. I gave this word back in July 22. The Asbury Revival started February 8, 2023. Here's a quote from the article. Throughout the day, ministers who didn't stop to say their own names or job titles would say, "There are no celebrities or superstars except Jesus." The term radical humility was used regularly. I go back to that word I gave. The word says this: the season of the superstar using one man here, one woman there is fading away. The article said this: there are no celebrities here, no superstars except Jesus. Here's another quote from the article. It said this: the student body president said this, "I know this campus very well. It's small. And I know exactly which students on this campus hate each other." You don't think that's some hurt and wounded people when you get to the point where you're hating each other? This is what she said: those are the people I have seen praying together, singing together, hugging each other, crying together. The word I gave was this: wounded warriors are returning to take their place on the battlefield, standing with their brothers and sisters in Christ, weeping with them, praying with them, standing with them, fighting with them. I'm not saying I prophesied about the Asbury University revival. I'm saying this: God gave my wife and I a season of personal revival that I've never experienced before in my life. Never experienced nothing like this before. My wife and I have traveled. We've spoken at many, many different churches. We've prayed for I don't know how many people. We've seen people healed. We've seen people filled with the Holy Ghost. We've seen people delivered from crack, from marijuana, from alcohol, you name it. We've seen people delivered. But since I've been at Faithful Word and we've gone through this personal season of revival, I've never experienced anything like this before. And I'm telling you this morning because I need you to raise your level of expectation. Because God wants to do that in you. He wants to show himself strong to you, in you, through you. I gotta tell you real quick, four things that I know, that I just know. Here are four things that I know. Here's the first thing. There will be a Holy Ghost-filled church in the last days. Dark days cannot diminish the power and light of God's grace. I don't care how dark it gets. The darkness cannot hide the light of Jesus. Whoo! Man, I'm ready to run around this church right now. Do you realize in Acts chapter 2 when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, it says that they were all filled? All. A-L-L, everybody in this church can be, should be, needs to be filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. All. Everybody. I don't care what your background. Well, I was Catholic. I don't care. I was Baptist. I don't care. I was Methodist. I don't care. That's right. You have Faithful Word now, baby. Acts chapter 2 says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And then they had the nerve to criticize them. And Peter stood up and preached. And I need you to see this. I need you to turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 14. Woo, glory to God. Woo, hallelujah. I'm getting some revival running through me all over again. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. It says this, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. Verse 15, for these are not drunk as you suppose. People, I promise you, I'm not drunk right now. I know I'm acting kind of strange, but I'm good. Amen. Seeing it is but the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now listen at this. Here's why I get excited. And it shall come to pass when? Wait a minute. You telling me in the last days? The Holy Ghost is going to be prevalent in the last days? But we just read that in the last days, men shall depart from the faith and people are going to give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. And we read that these people will be doing all kind of crazy stuff in the last days. But God, Sister Diane, but God says, Amen. Acts chapter 2 says this. He says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. Can I prophesy right now from the book of Acts? God says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Whoo, hallelujah. Can somebody just praise God right there? The word says in the last days. He says, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Anybody got anybody flesh and blood sitting by you right now? All flesh. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit. Are you flesh and blood? It's the real thing. Wow. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And you know those hard-headed, backslidden children he was talking about in the last days? Well, guess what Acts says? I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men. Wait a minute, I was dreaming dreams. Wait a minute. Let me reread that one. Your old men shall dream dreams. And all my servants and all my handmaidens. Wait a minute. You telling me that ladies can get filled with the Holy Ghost too? Are you telling me that the ladies in the house can move in the power of God? And all my servants and all my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Let me tell you something. The devil is not the only one having his way in these last days. God is having his way in these last days. I'm not glorifying what the devil's doing. I'm glorifying what God is doing. You tell me five things the devil is doing, by God, I'll tell you 10 things that God is doing. Yeah. Oh, the devil, I woke up and I was afraid. Well, baby, I woke up and God gave me prophetic dreams. Well, I woke up and I wasn't feeling good. Well, let me tell you what happened to me. I woke up and I was ready to get up and run around my bedroom because the presence of God was there. It's time to give God glory in these last days. It's time to see what God wants to do in us in these last days. It's time for us to get out of the way and let God do his thing in these last days. Whoo! Whoo! In these last days, God is still healing people. Let me testify for it. What time is it? Oh, hallelujah. Let me testify for a second. Let me testify for a second. You know, my wife and I were in this meeting. And this lady came up and she wanted, is it okay if I sit right here? Okay. My wife and I were in this church service, and this lady came up, and she had severe back pain. And so a couple of the ministers went over and prayed with her, and I went down, and I prayed with her, and I'm telling you, we're looking at her, and I'm on my knees, and I'm looking at this lady, and this God takes her feet and puts it in her hands, and he sees that one leg is shorter than the other leg. Well, come to find out, all her life she was born this way, and she had to wear special made shoes, and it was causing her severe back pain. And I'm looking at this lady, and we start to pray, and I see her leg do this. And I'm like, man, the Lord must be touching her. She's jumping. But what I didn't realize was that her leg grew out. The muscle, the bone, the ligaments, the tendons, everything grew out, was manifested right before my eyes. And I saw that lady's leg grow perfectly normal with the other leg. And guess what she did with those shoes she had to wear all her life? She went on a shopping spree, baby. Let me tell you what, the next time I saw her, she was walking around like this. She was doing like this. She had on normal shoes. Let me tell you what God's doing in these last days. Our God is showing himself strong. Our God is showing that he is bigger. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. Yeah, this world is getting dark. Yeah, this world is wicked. Yes, this world is like the old school Sodom and Gomorrah. But let me tell you something. Our God is bigger. Our God is greater. Our God is higher. Our God is more powerful. Our God is not afraid. Our God will use you. He will use you. He will use you to show himself strong. Whoo! You know, when times get hard, people make statements. Times get hard. This is what people will say. You know what? Y'all better leave me alone. I'm about to go postal on you. Or they'll say, I'm about to go bananas. I'm about to go crazy. I'm about to lose my mind up in here. They'll say all kinds of stuff. You know what we should start saying? I'm about to go Pentecostal. I'm about to go Pentecostal in this place. I'm about to go Pentecostal because I ain't going to let the world get the best of me. Here's the second thing I know. The flame in you can be rekindled again. I don't know what has happened to some of our church people. Life has worn you down. I greet some of you sometimes in different places I go, and I can just tell you're tired. You're tired. You're worn down. 3:30, two nights ago, a.m., I'm laying there, and the Lord showed me this, and he showed me a specific individual, says life is beating this individual down. I've already talked to them this morning. But they're not the only one. The flame in you can be rekindled again. In 2 Timothy verse 1, this is what it says. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. Stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Verse 6 says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance. Paul saying, Timothy, look, I need you to remember something. That thou stir up the gift. Stir up the gift. You have a gift in you. Stir that gift up. Stir that gift up. Fan into flames. Fan that gift hot again. Give life to that fire in you again. Seek God for a personal revival, Timothy. It's time for God's people to be used of him. It's time for you to be used of the Lord. You know, when the Lord sent his disciples to go and get that donkey before he made his triumphal entry, and they said, well, what if they ask us what we're doing? He said, well, if they come out and they ask you, what are you doing? You just tell them the Lord has need of him. Amen. I'm not calling you donkeys. I'm saying Jesus said, I had need of a donkey. You don't think he has need of his children? Yeah. His church? In these last days, it's getting dark, but the Lord has need of us to walk in the gifts that he has placed in us, because we are the only light that this world is going to see. And if we're dark, our flame is barely a candle light that's about to go out at any second, The world can't see the light in you. Your fire should be burning bright. I'm believing God this day. Some of you are going to get your fire. Your wood is soaking wet right now, but I know where to get some Holy Ghost gasoline.
Amen.
We're going Pentecostal, Pastor. Even if you're watching online right now, God can touch you where you are. In England, Finland, all over the United States, wherever you're watching from, God can touch you where you are. Florida, Indiana, North Carolina, all over. Get into the Word and see what God says about the gifts of God. Jude 20 says this, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves, charging your spiritual batteries." Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Some of you have been believing God to speak in tongues. This is your day. This is your day. I need your expectation up. I need you to know something. God is going to give you your prayer language today. I got one amen. God's going to give you your prayer language today. This is the day. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next year. This is the day. I need your expectation high. While I turn the page quickly. Here's the third thing that I know. There is power in the laying on of hands. There is power in the laying on of hands. Today, we're going to lay hands on some of you today to receive the Holy Spirit. We're going to pray over you, and we're going to pray for God to fill you with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And you, some of you in the back of your mind, even right now, you're thinking, I didn't do this in this last church I was at. They didn't talk about this in this past church I went to. I didn't hear them speaking tongues at Mass when I went, or wherever you went. I'm telling you what, you're about to hear some tongue talking today, baby. And you're going to be the one doing it. Because you need it. You need that. Think about it. And think about this. Think about this. The cell phone. You took out your cell phone. You looked at your battery. 90%, 80%, 30%. At night you charge it up. What if you had your phone plugged to a charger 24 hours a day? It would be on fire. But what if you had a source with you at all times to where when your battery started to get low, it was in your pocket all the time. And you were just plugging in and you got instant power. That's the Holy Ghost. That's praying in the Spirit. That's what speaking in tongues does. He said, beloved, build up your most holy faith. Plug in that power source. Charge your battery. Praying in the Holy Ghost. This is a Pentecostal, amen, charismatic, Holy Ghost church. I'm at the right place, right? Yeah. I'm sorry. I must have took a wrong turn. I must have ended up at First Baptist. I'm sorry. Second Methodist, Third Catholic, Fourth whatever. This is a Pentecostal church. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the evidence of speaking in tongues. We believe in healing. We believe in deliverance. We believe in a walk of power and faith. We believe that we can walk victorious. Okay. Here's the Acts chapter 9. Let me hurry up. Acts chapter 9 and verse 10. Acts chapter 9 and verse 10. This is the account when Paul had his encounter with the risen Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. That light was so bright from the glory of the Lord that it blinded him. And this is what the Lord spoke to one of his servants, Ananias. And he said in Acts 9:10, it says, "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, 'Behold, I am here, Lord.'" "Oh, yeah, God, I'm here. Speak to me. Here I am." "And the Lord said unto him, 'Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas and for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he's praying, and he has seen a vision and a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, laying hands on him, that he might receive his sight." Now, how much clearer can a word from the Lord be? Can it be any clearer? Only thing he can do different is show him on the screen what happens. Yes. And so verse 13, "And Ananias said, 'Lord, I know this sounds good. However, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name.'" Ananias, even with the word from the Lord, was still intimidated. Still intimidated to use the gift that God had put in him. But it's easy to be intimidated sometimes. You don't think, when I first stood up here, there were so many butterflies flying around in my stomach. I could have, Brother Gordon, you would have been just thrilled to see all the butterflies flying in my stomach. It's intimidating. I know we have so many people from so many backgrounds, ex-Catholics and Baptists and Methodists and Hindus and New Age and witchcraft and all kinds of backgrounds people come from. And the Lord said, "Dave, I want you to go and tell them you want to fill them. I want to fill them with the Holy Ghost." I'm like, "Sure. They'll listen. They'll be happy to hear that." "But the Lord said to him, 'Get out of here and go do what I mean, the Lord said to him, 'Go thy way. For he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake.' And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him," he put his hands on Saul, "and said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest," listen at this, "receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." Woo-hoo! You mean to tell me that we can lay hands on you and you can be filled with the Holy Ghost? Yeah. Is that what the Bible says? Now, look, Pastor said amen, so I must be right about that one. Yes. Hallelujah. Did you hear that? And if he used Ananias, just an ordinary disciple, he can use you. Hallelujah. Brooks and I went to this church to minister, and at the end, we had an altar call, and this lady, there were people up to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and people were receiving. Now, we were guest speakers, and they had some people around this lady praying for her to be filled, and just nothing was happening. And so I went up and I said, hang on a second, just leave her alone. And I just gently put my hand on her and said, in the name of Jesus, and she just got filled. Amen. Laying on of hands. Just laying on of hands. Here's the fourth thing I know. The fourth thing I know, God wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit today. This is the fourth thing I know. Amen. He wants to revive you. He wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit today. Luke chapter 11. This is my last portion of scripture. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. How many moms? Let me see moms in the house. Moms, you like to cook. Moms, are you? Moms, you cook?
Yes.
Yeah? You've cooked for kids before?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, moms, tell me this. How many times have you went to the store and bought poison to put in your children's food? Well, let's see. It was that time in 19... Well... How many times have you went outside? Whew. I might should pray again before I ask the next question. How many moms have gone out in the yard and picked up trash and brought it back inside, just random trash out the ditch and brought it back inside, put it in a pot and cooked it for your kids? Anybody? Oh, Mom, you're cooking trash soup again. That's wonderful. Never happened. Okay. Just kind of curious. I'm just curious. Okay. Dads, let me ask the dads a quick question. Dads, how many times have you gone to the grocery store and you've had plenty of money in your pocket? Kids say they want a box of cereal. We want Lucky Charms. We want Frosted Flakes. And you went to the pet aisle and bought some Alpo instead, bought some dog food and brought it back and say, here, boy, eat this dog food and be happy. How many dads have done that? None. Glenn, I'm not. Stop waving your hand. No dads. No dads have done that. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. Here's what the Lord says. He says, and I say to you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asks receiveth, and he that seeks findeth, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Any dads ever give your kids stones when they ask you for a piece of bread?
No.
Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Boy, take this rattlesnake and go play. No. Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a poisonous scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? How much more? You wouldn't do it for your own children, and you were born in sin. How much more will your perfect, all-loving Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to you if you ask him? How much more will your Father revive you this morning if you ask him? How much more? How much more will God anoint you and charge your batteries up this morning if you just ask him?
Amen.
Here is my invitation to you this morning. I feel the anointing so strong, my hair is tingling, brother. Whoo! It's just tingling right now. Just Timothy, you know what I'm talking about, right? You feel it, brother? I know you feel it. Whoo! Not if, but when you come to the altar this morning, here's the attitude I need you to have. I'm going to press in this morning. I need you to come to this altar wanting to press in. Not this little half-hearted, hey, God, I'm here. Do something now or I'm going home, get some cornflakes and get some Popeyes. When you come to the altar, I need you ready to press in and say, God, I'm not leaving this altar. I'm not leaving this place until you bless me. I need you to fill me today. Amen. Don't be intimidated anymore. Some of you are intimidated by the power of God. Some of you have been intimidated because you're thinking, what if God just takes a hold of me and I start acting like Brother David and make a fool out of myself? That's right. Don't be intimidated. Don't listen to the voices of the flesh. Don't listen to the voices of the enemy. Don't be intimidated by the unknown anymore. Don't resist that tugging at your heart right now. Some of you are thinking, right now, I really need a touch from the Lord. But if I go up, then people are going to think that I'm backslidden. People are going to think that I've been doing some horrible things. No, people are going to think that you are a normal Christian who've been fighting the devil, fighting the flesh, fighting the world, and you need your battery charged. That's what we're going to think. That's what we're going to think. And here's the last thing. Maybe you are backslidden. Maybe you are backslidden and you've walked away from the Lord and you need to rededicate your life, or you're not even saved. This is the place and the time for you. Amen. So if you want to receive the Holy Spirit, if you want to have your batteries charged today, I'm going to ask you to come to the altar right now. Go past the flesh, go past the brain, go past the mind, go past the intimidation, go past to what if somebody thinks this. Go past it. Lord, recharge my batteries. Lord, recharge my batteries. Lord, recharge my batteries. Lord, recharge my batteries. Hallelujah. Lord, recharge my batteries. Lord, recharge my batteries. Before I pray, is there anyone else needs to be at this altar? Before I pray, is there anyone else that needs to be at this altar? Lord, recharge me. Lord, fill me. Lord, fill me. Lord, fill me. Lord, fill me. Fill me, Lord. Fill me, Lord. Fill me, Lord. Gifts. You have gifts in you that have been laying dormant for too long. It's time to let those gifts flow freely in you. It's time to stop thinking about what are people going to think. Well, what if all the what ifs, all that stuff. The Lord says, I have need of you. Okay? Amen. Lord, at this altar right now, I just need you all to pray with me. I need you to pray. I'm going to need you to repeat after me. In the name of Jesus, Father God, I come today asking you, Lord, to revive me. Lord, I'm tired. I'm so tired. I feel like I've been beat down, carrying a heavy load. Lord, I'm ready to shake it off of me. Today, I need to leave that load at this altar. I'm ready to move forward in you in 2024. In this year, I'm leaving my sin behind. I'm leaving my worries behind. I'm leaving my unforgiveness behind. I'm leaving my pains behind. I forgive those who offended me. I forgive those who wounded me. I forgive them, Lord. Father, forgive me of any sin in my life. I want to walk clean. I want to walk victorious. I want to walk holy and righteous in Jesus' name. I receive it. I receive your forgiveness, Lord, at this altar today. By faith, I refuse to leave this place the same way I came. Lord, I pray that you fill me with your Holy Ghost today with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Today, I receive your Spirit in the name of Jesus. Lord, revive me. Revive me, Lord. Revive me, Lord. Now just cry out to him today. Lord, revive me, Lord. I receive it. Just tell him. I want you to open your mouth. I want you to open your mouth and you just start thanking the Lord right now for what he's doing. In the name of Jesus, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father God.
Are you coming up to receive the Holy Ghost today? What are you up for? Have you ever spoken tongues? Okay. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to just thank God. He sees your heart. He knows your heart. It's okay. So I just need you to just surrender to him and just begin to open your mouth and thank him and just tell him you love him. Lord, I thank you. And just as you hear, if you hear a word, I want you to say it. Okay? And I'm going to come back and check on you. So you do it now.
In the name of Jesus, Father, revive, Lord God. Revive this man of God. Feel him, Lord God. Feel him, Lord God. Even those empty places, feel them, Lord God. Feel them, I pray, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Fire. Fresh fire in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, I pray for fresh fire in my sister. Fresh fire in my sister in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Sister Sarah.
Fresh fire in the name of Jesus. You know what I hear in my spirit? You've been wounded. Wounded and wounded some more. Wounded and wounded and wounded some more. And this is what the Lord is going to do. That pain and that aching that has been just creeping into your heart and it just won't let you go. The Lord wants to heal that today. Today. Sister Mary, can you just put your hand on her heart?
Mm-hmm. In the name of Jesus, Father, heal. Heal, Father. Heal in the name of Jesus. Heal in the name of Jesus. Heal in the name of Jesus.